from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows Phone. R-T-I.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Prep and myself, Eric Wiltshire. Lee G. Banks, say hello in Spanish.
Hello in Spanish. Can I just tell you about something that happened yesterday here?
No, because I haven't done the Rachel bit yet.
Oh, I'll tell you after Rachel's been on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else.
Lee.
What?
It's Ula. Hello.
I had a Ula oop.
Is that I thought it was Ola.
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 Yeah,
no,
Ola.
That's that thing round. Yeah. No, yeah.
Do you know anyway. What that always reminds me of?
Oh.
War of the Worlds.
Are you gonna introduce Rachel?
Oh, sorry. Rachel, say hello in Melbourneese.
You can't, it involves four letter words.
Good day.
How the bomb are you?
Do you know what that always reminds me of when they go, hola?
Hola.
War of the Worlds.
Hola!
Yes.
You just said it.
War of the Worlds, isn't it?
Yes, I had to repeat myself. I feel like a parrot. Is it Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Can I now say what happened yesterday now you've introduced Rachel?
I don't know. Rachel, what do you reckon?
It's true. Any people might enjoy it.
You sure?
Hang on.
Which bar, shop, or betting office are you about to promote?
A dyslexic man walked into a bra. Sorry, that was what I was going to tell you. I mean, this is true, right? I'm in Valencia, like the boys and girls and everybody else.
God, no, it gets worse.
And yesterday...
I'm at the Orange.
We went to Valencia Zoo. And when we got there, there was only one dog there. What's it? And it was a Shih Tzu.
Have they all gone to England for the hot weather?
I think they have, mate. I think they have. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's nearly got to talk about Joe Wright as well, didn't they?
Yeah, nearly. Anyway, this is where we would link up England with Australia, only we don't have a representative from England in the show at the moment.
Okay. I'll represent it.
Anyway.
So it's both of you with your pommy accents. Anywho.
Moje slovensko dobri pani.
Say what?
I said my Slovak is good, missus.
That's awesome.
Was it?
Can we move along, please? We are on a time crunch.
Oh, producer's off again. A 70-year-old Australian man has set the record for the world's oldest person to swim the English Channel. So an Australian man and an... Oh, I should do this in the old football. An English man, yes. English Channel.
Yeah, why is he swimming the English Channel? Did he have to swim from Australia first? Or did
because
he...
it was there. Because it's there. Why
it's
else
there.
Do you do it? Because
why
it's there.
It in Bondi.
Because it get eaten by a shark.
There isn't an English Channel in Bondi, you nana.
And there's no English Channel. It's in, like, the Channel English place. But his name's Cyril Baldock.
Right.
Cyril Baldock's about as Australian as you get.
Yeah,
Cyril
yeah.
Baldock.
My auntie used to live in Baldock.
From Bondi. But he swam this, like, it's amazing. He swam 40 kilometres, 25 miles in old money for you people playing
in 12
at home.
Hours, though, Rachel. That's only 2 miles an hour.
Oh. Yeah, but he's 70 years old.
You can't walk that
70
fast.
70 years old. I can't walk that fast.
That fast?
I can't swim that fast. And well,
can you swim?
A little. I float pretty good, but that's because I'm a girl.
I swim like a brick. Down. Anyway, I got to say, what a wonderful fella.
He's 70 years old and he can do a bit of swimming. So what?
Mr. Banks.
That's terrible.
That is.
What?
How old? Mr. Banks, tell the world how old you are. Honest.
43.
Honest.
That's how old
honest
I am.
40.
Honest.
I'm round about 43-ish, give or take.
Yeah, round the waist. How old are you?
36-inch waist I've got, and I go out swimming in my private swimming pool every day. Up and down, out by diving.
Yeah, this is
swim,
Lee.
Swim,
this
swim.
Is Lee swimming. Swim, 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 swim.
Oh, no, my hair's wet.
Yeah, exactly. That's the
it's
point.
It's freezing to oblivion.
Yes, it's so cold there. My little bits are all shriveling up. They were small anyway.
Yeah, they were shriveling up, man. Honestly, the size of coconuts now. That's what happens.
So, the bottom line is, you couldn't swim 25 miles for you.
I could.
40 kilometres for the rest of us.
And I challenge you to do it.
Man, he's got nothing else to do.
Shall we do the ice bucket challenge over the English Channel, Rach?
I think that's a great idea.
Challenge.
I think we should do it to Lee without his permission.
Yes.
We should just tie the man down.
We dare you to swim the English Channel in under 13 hours.
What, in between this and the next item? I can do it.
And if you don't succeed, I get to beat you with a piece of frozen hose.
And there's nothing wrong with a bit of hose being beaten by a hose.
You're right. Anyway, we think he's a wonderful fella. You're a good man, Cyril.
My fault.
Yeah, and you're a good fella. Now, the only thing is, you live down in Bondi Beach, Cyril, so could you pop down there and get Henry to get fit? Because that'd be kind of good. Because he's not fit, mate.
Henry's that fit. If he jumps in the water, a dog would come and drag him out thinking he was a stick.
Henry's listening. He'll be so upset. He'll be crying into his red wine.
Henry's been in my bed.
Yeah, we don't want to go there.
Rach,
is the koala a princess?
Yes, they're very precious. Oh. You know what? This is an interesting story, and it's very weird that it happened so soon. And upon my return to Melbourne, when I first moved to Melbourne the first time, I was about 11 years old, and we moved to a place called Langwarrin.
Right.
Ooh. And this event with this particular koala took place on Thursday in Langwarrin.
No.
That's what it is.
No.
As I returned to Melbourne. Yes. Yeah, so anyway, this koala had actually died whilst in the tree, and the firefighters were trying to catch it, try and climb up and rescue it.
It was asleep in the tree.
It was dead.
It was dead.
It was deadly.
It wasn't. They thought it had died. It had been knocked over on the road.
It wasn't asleep. It was unconscious.
It was Lee, to get into the things that you will understand, as in Monty Python, it was a past koala.
No, he ain't dead. He's just asleep.
They were holding a blanket underneath because they knew that it was eventually going to fall out of the tree. And
what did it matter if it was dead?
Can
we get on to the story, please?
Thank you.
It was a dead koala. Who gives a it was like a zero koala, like that drink. Yeah.
Anyway, they put the O2 oxygen therapy, on, and they got it back to life, and now it's doing very well. But the point.
But no, it was a proper kiss of life, wasn't it?
It was a mouse to mouse.
It should have been arrested.
The point is...
It's a death koala.
The point is that there was in excess of 10 million koalas in Australia before the British settlers arrived in 1788. And now are believed to be fewer than 43,000 koalas left in the wild, and they've got all these terrible diseases, and they're near extinction.
Yeah, but
so when they find one,
flawed.
I'll make your point.
Flawed. It's because the Crim's done it.
What? Don't be so rude. What do you mean?
The Crim's.
Did what?
Because the majority of the people from, as you put it, England, that went over there, were not nice people.
Now, they killed the koalas to keep the pyjamas in, didn't they?
That's it.
Anyway, the point is that they are near extinct now. So when they find one injured, they make a lot of fuss about trying to save it. Because we're trying to save the wildlife. And koalas are lovely, by the way.
Don't they whittle all over you? Stop it, don't go there. Anyway, this is a subject close to Rachel's heart, because apparently, so we do know, because we've been told by Rach before, and by Rob, I think, that Australia is a massive mining continent, not country, continent, and there seems to be fears that the mining boom is over and a whole town could disappear, Rachel. What's going on?
It's not a fear at all. In the Northern Territory, where I've just been paroled from, there's a little place called Nhulunbuy, and a part of that particular area, and it's the very, 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 very top of Australia, like right at the tip. So there's a place called Gove, and it was basically, it's basically a town that is completely funded and established by BHP and by all the mining companies, etc. And then they pulled out of there, leaving nothing. And businesses dead and people jobless, and they won't even fly aircraft in there anymore. So you can only get a train out. And in the wet season, you can't get out of there at all unless by air. So now in the Pilbara, where Robbie is right now, actually, in the Pilbara, the same thing is happening. These towns that have been established by these big mining companies have jacked up rents so high that the businesses that were already in existence, Mr. Joe Citizen and his, you know, his store, they can't pay their rent. They can't keep the rent on their store, so these businesses are going under. And they're now done with. They've pillaged everything they need to out of the ground there. So then they up and out, leaving what was a town in complete ruins, like a ghost town. It's
Can't they do something like the Gold Coast, where they turned it into sort of a, you know, a holiday resort area?
Oh, good. No. These are areas of the world. These are the areas of the world that are godforsaken. There is nothing. The weather is absolutely 55 degrees during the day, 98% humidity, and there's nothing. There's nothing but red, red dirt for miles and miles and miles.
Perhaps they can sell the dirt.
Exactly. Eric, will you take this seriously? This is a very sad story.
No, I am being serious. Because the amount of people that would buy that to convert it into bricks or something like that for housing, it could be worth a lot of money. I'm serious.
It's really sandy.
You got yourself
sandy,
out of
though.
That one quick, didn't you?
It's super sandy.
Well, you need
sandy,
sanding bricks.
It's not. I don't think that's I think if that was viable, they would have done it. But, you know, because they would. You know that. But it's terrible. You can't grow. It's drought ridden.
Yep.
You can't grow anything there. Everything has to be. All irrigation has to be brought in there. So it's really a wasteland. It's terrible. So the cities that were built and established by these giant companies
sound very much like Spain.
They've done their job. They've pulled out and they've left nothing.
Okay, we move on, boys and girls. We wish the people lots of luck. Let's just hope something comes out for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
The EU's at it again, because this sucks.
No.
As the EU pretends to go green. And why does the EU suck? Because it's, well, you've got a few, well, actually, you've got a few days to buy something that in a couple of years' time will be breaking the law. How stupid is that?
It is incredible.
It really is that stupid, boys and girls. I'll explain. If you want to get a high-powered vacuum cleaner.
Shall we let him rage?
Yes.
Right. Mrs. Producer, can I?
Yes, please proceed.
Right, thank you. She sounded like a magistrate then, for goodness sake.
She sounded like a one-armed policeman.
No.
I've been watching lots of Oscar Pretorius. I'm all sort of my lady.
Is it finished yet, thank goodness? I boycotted it on purpose. Anyone who wanted to buy a powerful vacuum cleaner...
Why can't you have a powerful vacuum cleaner?
Because after the 1st of September, companies in the EU will be banned from making or importing vacuum cleaners with motors that are over 1,600 watts.
Why?
Because that'll save energy, Lee.
But it'll leave your house dirty and you'll all die of diseases from dirty houses.
You see, I kind of thought that first.
And allergens,
exactly.
Well, I kind of thought about that first.
You said that a minute ago.
And then I thought, hold on a minute. Let me think to my great sport of Formula One.
Oh, here we go.
Of course, because that's...
I asked you if we should have let him continue, Rachel.
And you said yes. Poor decision.
So think about it. All you F1 fans will know this. Last season, you had a certain size of engine, yada, yada, yada. This season, because F1 wants to go green, how stupid is that? They bought the engine size down, changed the wheels a bit, yada, yada, yada. And yet... Wait for it. They've got the same power output as they had last year, virtually. So all I'm thinking is, can't they get the same suck from a vacuum cleaner using a smaller motor?
The only thing you can do is suck it and see.
Well, I don't. If anything, you know, Sir Dyson can, because he's probably the best vacuum cleaner maker ever.
Yes.
What about Henry? What about Henry? Henry's the best vacuum cleaner. Henry the Hoover. Yes. Yeah, Henry with the big nose and the big glowing eyes and the smiley
Hoover,
face.
The Hoover used to be. He used to be, but now the Dyson is, I believe. I have a bit of a confession to make.
You've got one, haven't you?
I want to share this. Just don't tell anybody, everybody who's listening. Just
go on, darling. I've got
a sickness. And I buy vacuum cleaners off television.
No, you didn't buy the one that goes. Oh look, it's only £15 in weight.
No, because that doesn't make any sense in my country.
Yeah.
At one point, I had seven.
What?
Good girl.
My life.
But the only one I didn't have was the Ghostbusters backpack one, which I really want next.
Could you get that?
But Robbie caught the sickness off me, and he bought the big industrial kind, the kind that actually rips up your floorboards.
Oh, no. You do realise that nobody's going to believe anything you say on this radio show again, don't you?
Why?
Why? Because I've got obsessive compulsive disorder. That's hurtful and discriminatory.
It is, actually. Yeah. So how many Hoovers did Rob buy?
Rob bought two. We had nine, but you know what? Because we downsized and I was really brutal about it, I gave a lot of our stuff away to Lifeline and to St. Vinny's before we left.
Oh, nice.
And we now only have one vacuum cleaner.
Uh-oh.
But that's just the. But I'm in a new place now.
No, basically, what you're
the
saying
big one
is.
That rips up the floorboards.
You got rid of the cleaners so you can go and buy some new ones. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway. So there's two other sillies about this, because talking of your Mr. Dyson who you love, he says that 126 million cleaner bags and filters from normal vacuum cleaners end up in landfills across the EU every year. So what's the point of bringing the motors down? And this is where it gets really good. From the 1st of September 2017, all vacuum cleaners will have to be less than 900 watts. No one's ever going to clear my shed up with 900 watts of vacuum cleaner.
That's just pathetic.
How are you going to clear up all the little screws and nuts and bolts and things?
Yeah, well, that's it. Big screws on the air, no? Honestly,
exactly.
Yeah.
We move back to Darwin, Rach.
Yeah, Rach,
I'm moving you back to Darwin, Rach.
Yeah, ready.
I really don't really, but okay.
Yeah. Apparently, boobies have racked up more complaints at a popular Darwin recreation area than ever before.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? You know why I find this ridiculous, story? Because it's so hot in Darwin, you have to take all your clothes off at all times because it is ridiculously hot. If you don't, you will die.
Yeah, but your little bits will get all sunburnt, Rach.
Ooh, Rachel.
Not if you put your sunscreen on. If you put your sunscreen on, you're all right, and you've got to put it on strategically.
Ah, right.
So, did you walk around Darwin topless then, Rachel?
Not outside, no. I'm a bit shy.
You telling me we've done topless radio and didn't know about it?
Actually, no.
I must confess, I don't feel comfortable in the buff. Rob does. He probably did the show naked when he did it with you guys. He does everything else naked.
I've just had a silly story come into my head. This is the absolute truth. You know your obsession? Your vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
I have an obsession, and I'm going to admit it live on the wireless.
I am not
a good boy for shaving every day of the week. I am not. No. I am more Central European orientated, and I shave when necessary. Apart from when I'm doing a radio show. Before I do a radio show, I have to have a shave.
It's a ritual.
Yes.
That's nothing wrong with that. It's like not changing your socks because you're going to lose the match or whatever.
No. My socks have to get changed every day. Trust me on this.
Oh, mine too. Well, actually, I don't wear socks very often, so I really wouldn't know. But
you're not a commando person.
Commando?
My feet are.
Are they?
My feet are. I've been in Darwin. No one has shoes. The state shoe is a flip-flop.
Very poor.
It's a flip-flop. So why have they got the ump then?
That's
a bad choice of words.
You know what? This woman who was complaining is a 23-year-old woman who was just, you know, going about her business, and she noticed that there were topless people sunbathing, and where in an area, I hasten to add, where it is permitted for them to do so.
And now that's what I couldn't understand about this story.
Rach, would you happen
but
to know...
But when they go into the water, they're not allowed to be topless in the water. I was like, why? Because
the fish
is... Well, you can't really see anybody topless in the water because they're underwater.
Rach, do you know, Rach, just by chance, has she got an A cup and a bit jealous?
Do you mean...
Well, that's
she got
what I thought. I thought to myself, she's clearly, you know, a bit of a mozzie bites.
Yes.
And doesn't have her own flotation devices to save her in the water. So, you know, maybe she's a bit, there's a bit of the green-eyed monster. But then I thought about it a bit further and I went, do you know what, Rach? There's a really simple answer to this story.
What?
It happened in Darwin.
And you got out there.
And you've left there.
Right.
Can I tell you a physical...
No, we haven't got time, Lee. We haven't got time. We've got so many more stories we've got to do, and I've got so little time in which to do them all.
Well, that's fine, because I'll just use it as an answer to your next question.
Thank you very much. We got to say well done to Bedford. Bedford is a town in the UK which has been crowned...
Which we both know very well.
Well, we do, because I went to university there, funnily enough, when it was a technical college.
And I went to university there as well, but I got kicked out.
I'm not surprised. Anyway, Bedford's been crowned the UK's most generous town, according to data gathered by donation site Just Giving. And they've given over £1 million. Over
it's
a million
amazing.
Quid.
It's really, that's really... 1,400,000, wasn't it?
1,145,967 pounds.
Oh, there was a 40 in it somewhere,
which is a lot.
Really good. No, that's a good one. Well done, Bedford.
Yeah, well done, Bedford. We like that.
It's not like the richest town in the world, is it?
No, exactly not. And we also want to say congratulations to... Deborah Penny. Let's do it that way. Deborah Penny, who's 47. And Deborah is in the army. And she is a bomb disposal expert, boys and girls.
Still, she's disposed of either, is it?
Well, no, and she is a transgender person, and she's out there on the front line with all the guys sorting stuff out. And do you know what? You see a picture of her. Pardon me. She's
very pleasant.
Very pleasant lady. Very pleasant lady. And she's working in a male-orientated world. Had the Mickey taken out of her, but she... carried on with it, and now she's one of the troops.
She is, and it's a good, happy story, because for somebody to show that kind of bravery, to actually go ahead and do what she's done and continue in the job that she wants to do, and to stand up and be counted about it, good on her.
Well done.
I agree. You know, the instinct is for people to walk away from bombs and to walk... To walk towards them, be the person to walk towards one to dismantle it or get rid of it is pretty brave in my book. It's like firemen running into burning buildings.
I couldn't
weird.
Do that. Now, the other next one, boys and girls, frightens the pants off of me if I was wearing pants on the outside, which I'm not because I've got not Madonna. Interpol.
Ooh.
Now, Interpol are supposed to be like the big police force thingy that we all go, they'll fix it.
This is in South Africa, though, you have to say.
It doesn't matter. The high-security building housing Interpol's South African office has been burgled for the fifth time in 3 weeks.
Oops.
Now, you'd think they'd have a security system that worked for Interpol, wouldn't you?
Well, you would have thought,
they're too busy
though.
Protecting... They're polling everything else. too busy looking after the rest of the world, internationally polling. So, you know, maybe they forgot. It's like losing your keys.
Yeah, but you can't take it away from them, that actually, because they are the world's greatest investigative body, apparently, and they've actually traced their laptops that have been stolen from their high-security offices to the local pawn shop round the corner.
Well, that's not difficult
it's
to
true,
do.
It's true, read it.
No, I know. It's not difficult. The minute you go on the interweb, it can be traced. We've got to do this because this epitomises to me the whole of the Edinburgh Fringe thing, which I have to say, if somebody could put it on a boat, take it out into the middle of the ocean and pull the plug out, it wouldn't bother me.
I say this all the time, and there's one thing that actually you say that grates my cheese. I love the Edinburgh Festival, and I think what you say about it is scurrilous.
Really?
And it's wonderful. And you know what? It gave so many fantastic opportunities to Australian comics and Australian entertainers.
I know.
I think that's terrible, Uncle Eric. I think you should get back in your box now. I'm the producer. Get back in your box.
No, I'm going to now tell you the winner of this year's Edinburgh Fringe Joke Award. Yeah. It has won Tim Vine.
He's a funny joke.
He's an actor. He's quite a good sitcom actor.
He's a great actor.
But he's one line joke. Yeah. I decided to sell my Hoover. Well, it was collecting dust.
You killed that joke on purpose. You killed that joke.
Well, you make it funny then.
You can't. You've just killed it.
It's all in the delivery. You can't now. You can't repeat that.
I'm not going to repeat it. I want to make it. I was in the gym yesterday, right? Because I'm out here and I'm looking after myself. And I said to the gym instructor, can you teach me to do the splits? And he said, well, how flexible are you? I said, well, I can make Tuesdays. See? That's what the other fringe is a joke. See, she thinks it's funny.
It'll stop in a minute, boys and girls, don't worry. Yes, that kind of epitomises it all. And he did. Tim actually won the award before in 2010 for another joke.
I know, I know that.
I'll tell you what, Rach, you deliver this joke. Yes.
It was a horse walked into a bar.
No.
Barman said, why the long face?
Can we have the real winning joke now?
Here's the real winning joke. Here's the real winning joke. This is terrible and should not be said in public. No, actually, I can't say it in public. No, there's another one. Another real...
No, brilliant. I want the winner from 2010, which was also Tim Vine.
Go on, no, you can do it. You can ruin it yourself.
I've just been on a once-in-a-lifetime holiday. I'll tell you what, never again.
That's a really funny joke, isn't it, Rach?
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Two aerials.
You know the comic Steve Wright, the guy who delivers his monotone, you know, they got the American comic who delivers in a very monotone way. Steve Wright, he's hilarious. Just look him up. He says things that, if delivered in a different way, are so unfunny.
Exactly.
You would want to shoot yourself in the head. However,
is a joke
because
for Eric,
he
right?
says it in a monotone way. It is hilarious because of the way he delivers it.
Ah, oh, right.
Eric, I am going to amaze you with this joke. This is designed specifically for you, right?
Right.
Two aerials meet on a roof and get married. The ceremony was rubbish, but the reception was brilliant.
No, it wouldn't work, Lee, because if you had two aerials too close to each other, they'd reflect off each other, then you get a bad signal.
The most humorless man I've ever encountered.
That was funny, actually, Rachel, that one.
But talking of funny, I do find this bloke funny, who was actually caught on a police camera reading a newspaper whilst driving down the road. Who was it? Roy Chubby down. Brown.
Who?
What do you mean, who?
Do you mean?
Well, I think it's quite, you know, who. It's a question one asks when one
Roy,
doesn't know.
You don't know who Roy Chubby Brown is?
No.
He's a sellout comedian in Australia.
I don't know who he is. He's probably not funny.
He is.
He's funny.
So rude.
Oh, you are so rude. Do you know what, Rach? On that rude note, do you know what you've got to do now?
No.
Say goodbye.
Apologise, dance. Goodbye, Rach, with your attitude.
Lee, goodbye in Spanish, please.
Okay, I'm on a whiskey diet. I've lost 3 days already.
Oh, goodness sake. We'll see you next week, boys and girls. We'll try and get sanity back. That was Postcard from Poprad, allegedly rumoured, and various other things. See you soon. Bye-bye.